Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Grace Curley Show. It is Thursday, becoming one of my favorite days of the week, mostly because we get to do Woke or Joke in the 1 o'clock hour, but we have a great show planned for you today. Beyond Woke or Joke, we also have Matt Boyle from Breitbart joining us at 105. I think we'll squeeze in a Dear Grace at some point today. I did promise that yesterday, and everything kind of got ahead of me. Before I get to what is happening nationally between Bernie Sanders and his squad of progressive liberals versus the more moderate Democrats, and I do want to get to that because I find it amazing that Bernie Sanders, say what you want about Bernie, but he is not a people pleaser in any sense of the way. He got a request from Senator Cory Booker to sign off on a letter basically condemning the women who followed Kristen Sinema into a bathroom at Arizona State University. Seems like it'd be a pretty easy sell. You know, we don't want, hey, Bernie, we don't really want people following other people into bathrooms. Can kind of lead down a bad road, invasion of privacy. The only way Bernie would do it, according to his staff, his little minion who was writing to Cory Booker's little minion, is that he wanted them to phrase it in a way that essentially said, while we hope she will go along with what we want, we condemn the behavior of those protesters. And Cory Booker, to his credit, would not approve the edit. And we're going to get into all of that because I find that story so amusing. Plus, Bernie now is saying it's two people who are sabotaging this fabulous, green, massive bill. If you know how the Senate works, it's actually, it's more than two people. It takes a lot more than two people to sabotage it. But, you know, that's classic Bernie Sanders. He's lying to get his point across or to convince his rabid base. And the part of this I find so amazing, and I was just talking to Howie about it, and Howie said, you shouldn't be surprised by that. Bernie Sanders has no conscience. You know, he doesn't have a moral compass. But I always thought after what happened with Steve Scalise at the congressional softball game, that because it was a crazy Bernie bro, and I always said on this show, I know it's a crazy Bernie bro, I do not blame Bernie Sanders, I do not blame the Bernie Sanders campaign, because I knew that's what they would do if it was a crazy Trump supporter. And the truth is, there's nuts everywhere. There's nuts in every political party, and you can't blame an entire group. But just knowing that that's where his rhetoric and his ideas had led before. Now, again, not saying it's his fault, because I hate when they do this to Trump. But you think he'd be a little sensitive to the fact of, it's fine to be passionate, but we have to have boundaries. It's fine to care about universal health care and, you know, opening the borders for anyone who wants to walk in, and DACA recipients and free this, free that. That's all great. But we can't get violent. We can't break the law. You would just think that would be something that he had really thought about before because of what happened. Apparently not, because he won't even sign a piece of paper condemning these people. When Trump was president, if anything happened, whether it was a storm or a car accident or a shooting or you know, someone's food came out the wrong way, he was expected to condemn the person responsible. He was expected to get up and disavow. He disavowed David Duke about 400 times. All they ask of Bernie Sanders is, hey, let's just make sure we let people know that we don't stand by this. We don't want people filming a senator in the bathroom. Nope, that's a bridge too far. Sorry about that. Bernie can't get on board. And we will get to all of that. I want to hear what you guys have to say. And I also really want to play some of the Jen Psaki sound from yesterday, because I was amazed at the turnaround that this administration is doing on Hunter Biden. You got to give Hunter Biden a little bit of credit here. The brazenness of this dude. I mean, the art show, the gallery exhibit of all of his wonderful pipe artist work was up in L.A., and he had all these beautiful people there, the mayor of L.A., Sugar Ray Leonard, big celebs, and no masks in sight. Don't worry, though. Sophisticated gathering, no masks required. You know, if I showed up, I'm sure they'd bring out the hazmat suits because I'm just a credulous boomer rube. But the group was very sophisticated and, you know, very cultured, so nobody needed to wear a mask. But beyond that, we were told specifically, and it might be memory hold at this point, you know, the Ministry of Truth might have incinerated any stories about this, but I specifically remember Jen Psaki going over all of these safeguards, all of these procedures that were going to avoid anything nefarious happening, you know, any sort of pay to play, anything where someone could benefit from this administration by buying artwork. Keep in mind, art is really the easiest way to launder money, I think, in the world, as far as industries go. But she had all these ideas for how to do it. She was telling the press corps, no, we're going to keep it all anonymous. And of course, normal people, like the people listening to my show, were thinking, yeah, okay, I'm sure you're going to keep it anonymous. How's that going to work? So some reporters were asking, like, well, how does that work exactly? You know, if he's going to have a gallery and there's going to be people there, it makes sense that the people who are going to see the artwork might be buying it. He'll see them. Oh, no, we have it all set. You know, we're crossing our T's, dotting our I's. Don't worry about a thing. Well, he goes to this thing. By all accounts, it looked like people there were interested in buying the artwork. And he met all of them. I mean, he was shaking hands. His wife was introducing him to people. He was posing for photos, taking videos. So how does that work? Now, if they had had masks on, I would have said maybe it could be half anonymous. You know, you kind of have a feeling of who's interested in the art, but you can't see their mouths. But it wasn't even that. They didn't even take that precaution. So all those safeguards that we were lectured about were thrown out the window. And Jen Psaki still manages to pretend that the people asking these questions are the crazy ones, that they're overreacting. She gaslighted the bleep out of the reporters. And it was breathtaking to watch. Now, all of that, we will get to all of it. I will take your calls on everything from the border to inflation. I do want to really hit on inflation today because I read a lot of interesting stories about just how much, you know, we keep hearing about no taxes will be put on people. We're going to spend all this money, trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars, but no one's going to get taxed. But the New York Post had a great piece where they explain inflation in itself is a tax on people. You know, it might not be written out as one, but if you have to spend $70 more every time you go to the grocery store to feed your family, you might as well be getting taxed. And I'll get to all of that. But I would be remiss if I didn't mention a local story to start off the show. And this actually might be the thing that lights up the calls. And if that is how it goes, I will take the calls because I understand that this is infuriating to a lot of people. There's a new story in the Boston Herald today, which is a great paper, by the way. You can always check out my stuff there as well. And it's titled, Hundreds of Massachusetts State Police Face Being Fired Over Vaccine Mandate. A group of state police troopers and commanders have hired a Boston law firm as hundreds in the agency face being fired for not taking the COVID vaccine. A source told the Herald today, more than 300 troopers, sergeants, lieutenants, detective lieutenants, captains, and staff are in that group, and some have already caught COVID, therefore they have antibodies. But that won't help them come October 17th, when the vaccine mandate goes on the books. This has been my whole life. I've been a loyal cop, the source said. But unlike Boston police and others, we don't have a testing option. It's horrendous, said attorney William Jens, who confirmed today his firm has been hired to advise the group of troopers resisting the mandate. He said the state police in this group discuss issues to keep informed and to develop a response to this mandate. He added, we number in the hundreds. Now, we've seen this happen in New York. We've seen this happen specifically with healthcare workers. But it's really hitting close to home now. Obviously, this is Massachusetts State Police. And I'm curious if anyone has had experience with this in Massachusetts. And the craziest part is that you see all these stories about, oh, well, you know, the vaccination rate has gone up, so these mandates are working. And I always think to myself, well, no one's questioning whether or not forcing people to do things will get something done. We're questioning if it's right, if it's legal, if it's moral. But no one's shocked that if you threaten people's livelihood, that they will succumb to your demands. That kind of goes without saying. But people like at CNN and the Washington Post, they're acting as if this is some great success by the Biden administration. Well, turns out that when you mandate things, people do what you want. Yeah, but wouldn't it be nice to live in a country where people could just do what they wanted to do? And if you were convincing in your argument, then maybe they'd follow what you wanted them to do. But that's not the country we live in right now. And it's pretty amazing that these stories are coming out. I think a lot of people feel very intimidated to even talk about it because they don't want to get in trouble. They don't want to get in trouble with their company. And listen, I say this all the time, and I think it's an important thing to state before we even get into this conversation, which is I'm vaccinated. I have no issue with the vaccine. I think it's wonderful. I think Operation Warp Speed did a great job. I got Pfizer, and I have no issue with it. What I have an issue with, and this is not a hard line to walk. It's very simple. What I have issue with is taking away people's choice and taking away people's freedom to choose what they want to do. It's not anyone's decision. No one is your healthcare proxy that resides at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, last time I checked. And where this argument gets really banana land, and something that I hadn't really figured in until probably the last month, which is a lot of these people, whether it's state troopers, healthcare workers, any sort of first responders, you know, ambulance drivers, whoever they are, they've been in contact with this virus while the rest of us, as Carol Markowitz calls us, the pajama class, were eating donuts and watching Tiger King. And we had no issue with that. We were applauding them, you know, putting them on commercials and stuff. But we had no issue with the fact that they weren't vaccinated because a vaccine didn't exist. So for a solid couple of months, at least, while the rest of the world was locking down and, you know, your neighbor, your wealthy upper class neighbor might have been Lysoling her mail, there were people who didn't have that option. There were people who were changing the beds at hospitals. And they weren't afraid. They were just doing it because that's what being an essential employee means, is you go in and you have to do it. You're a first responder. So they got COVID. And that's where this entire debate gets crazy, because it's like, okay, you still have to take it, but I already have the antibodies. Well, you still have to. So at this point, is this just, it's more of a symbol. It's more of a bending the knee. It's more of a submission tactic than it is about my health, which, P.S., spoiler alert, this entire thing has been about submission. A very small percentage of this has been about people's health. My mom says it like once a week. If you still think this is about your health, you're out of your mind. And that's becoming very clear. 844-500-4242. I already see people on the lines. We'll take calls for this hour. I do want to talk about Hunter, Jen Psaki, COVID, what's happening at the border, and of course, Biden's poll numbers. You know how bad Biden's poll numbers are right now? Jake Tapper ran a segment on it. Need I say more? Heartbreaking for the Biden administration. When you've lost Jake Tapper, I don't know where you go from there. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. She's a master thespian, trained in the art of performance.
These pretzels are making me thirsty!
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Lastly, the CEO of Pfizer, the company you served on the board of, affirmed today that that data on vaccinations for 5 to 11-year-olds will be going to the FDA within a matter of days. Is that confirming your schedule of vaccines by Halloween?
Yeah, I think that's still possible. FDA has said that the review is going to be a matter of weeks, not months. I interpret that to mean potentially a 4-week review, maybe a 6-week review. So I think on the low end, it could take 4 weeks, and that could give you a vaccine by Halloween. If it slips a little, it could be mid-November.
Yeah, that's former FDA head Scott Gottlieb talking about getting the vaccines to 5 through 11-year-olds. I think people are really willing to take the jab for, you know, to keep their job, for one, to get on an airplane easier. But I do think you will meet more resistance when you start telling people their kids need to take this. That's just my hot take. By the way, when it comes to the poll numbers, and they are crashing, they're not bouncing back, much to the shock of a lot of pollsters out there. And, you know, usually these pollsters are so right on the money with all of this. But I have to say, I'm a little nervous that on a day like today, when Biden's numbers are so low, that I'm pouncing and seizing and weaponizing on these low numbers. And I just hope that doesn't become the story, you know, because I'd hate to see that happen. Let's go to Jane. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jane.
Hey, Grace. Thank you for everything you do. Definitely love hearing a young voice that's strong about this stuff.
Thank you.
One of the things that really kills me, I had 3 boys in college this year, and each of the colleges in Boston mandated the vaccine. One of my kids had a heart issue when he was younger, and even though he's healthy now, I didn't want to get him vaccinated because of the science.
Right.
The science shows that young boys are the most susceptible to this heart condition.
Right.
And I couldn't get a doctor to say, hey, maybe he ought not get this. Nobody would say he should get it, but nobody would write me a letter getting me out of it. I think it's all because of money. I think they have to advise all their patients to get it. And the other thing about these colleges, when I was in college, I took a class on biomedical ethics. And I don't know who's taking that these days, because it is unethical to give somebody something, number one, against their will, number two, that isn't an extreme benefit.
Yeah. No, right. And I think the name of what you're talking about is myocarditis or something. It's where like a fluid surrounds the heart. And I have heard of that before. And to your point about the money, Jane, this is a story from the New York Post. Moderna founders debut on Forbes list of 400 richest Americans. What do you think helped spur their debut? Do you think they were on the fence for a while and something pushed them over the top? Moderna co-founder and chairman Nabur Afayan, along with fellow co-founder and Massachusetts Institute of Technology professor Robert Langer, both made the list with estimated net worths of $3.7 billion and $3.5 billion. I'm really starting to feel like this conversation about big pharma and the money behind this has to happen, because like Jane said, you know, a doctor's job is to do no harm. I think that's the oath they take. So if a young man who's healthy and fit isn't going to die of COVID, and I'm sure that the risk of the vaccine for this young man is also incredibly low, but why can't he decide which risk he wants to take? You know, risk assessment is something that everyone does differently. So if a young man says, I'm going to take the risk of getting COVID and surviving it and getting natural antibodies, isn't that his choice? We'll continue this conversation when we get back. 844-500-4242. Don't go anywhere. So much more to get to. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. Thanks so much for tuning in. 844-500-4242 is the number if you want to join us on this beautiful Thursday. We have a lot planned. And because we have so much planned later in the show, I do want to just hit a couple different stories right now. One story that made me laugh is the fact that Bernie Sanders will not condemn cinema harassment amid spending bill spat. So Bernie Sanders is telling his progressive base to stand strong. I believe the term they're using is hashtag hold the line. In other words, there's going to be no compromise here. In fact, just the other day, AOC was at the Capitol. I don't think I ever ended up playing this sound, Jared. And she started talking about how, you know, they keep trying to tell us something is better than nothing, but I'm from the Bronx and I know what that really means. She went on this whole, you know, theatrical tangent. And that's where they're at right now. They're saying, do not bend to the moderates. We have to stay strong. And if they don't want to pass the reconciliation bill, if they don't want to pass the $3.5 trillion tree equity, IRS payday, massive boondoggle, then we won't pass their $1.2 trillion bipartisan infrastructure bill. It's a very risky move because what will probably end up happening is that they'll get nothing. Now, that's going to make American people very happy because I think everyone just feels like, hey, maybe we cool it off with the spending for a bit. But it's not going to leave Joe Biden very happy because he's going to have zero wins for his domestic agenda. And then you couple that with all of the failures that he's had, whether it be with COVID, whether it be with the southern border, the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. There's no shortage of scandals and disasters that are plaguing this administration. And it is showing in the polls. But Sanders is a true socialist, and he does not want to compromise here. He thinks he is right. And I think what's really happening is that Bernie Sanders, he's played the loser so many times for these people, and now he's kind of at his wit's end. So it's like, you know what? No. I've taken one for the team election after election after election. No more. And this is the result, is that his base is freaking out, and they're following Senator Kristen Sinema into a bathroom at Arizona State University. And they're telling her that, you know, I'm a DACA recipient and I'm a victim of this and I'm a victim of that. And why don't you do what I say? We voted for you and we can so easily get you out of there. It's very threatening. They're all like mini Greta Thunbergs. Do as I say or else dot, dot, dot. And so Cory Booker decided that he was going to send out, and let me just read you this so everyone can get the exact story. This is from the New York Post. Senator Bernie Sanders refused to sign on to a statement condemning last weekend's harassment of Senator Kristen Sinema, unless it included language pressuring her to change her stance on the proposed $3.5 trillion social spending bill. The third paragraph of the draft statement read, "What happened in that video was a violation of Senator Sinema's privacy that has no place in our public discourse, and we resolutely condemn it." That's a pretty easy thing to sign on with. Someone filming someone else in a bathroom, whether it be a senator or not, tends to fall under an invasion of privacy, I would guess. But that was a bridge too far for Bernie Sanders, so he said, you know what? Let's edit this out a little bit. It's a little bit too one-sided. In a Tuesday email exchange obtained by Axios, Sanders communication director Mike Kaska suggested to Booker's communications director, who's Jeff Geertz, that he begin the paragraph with the word, "While we hope Senator Sinema will change her position on prescription drug reform and support a major reconciliation bill." So they wanted to tack that on to the beginning, before pivoting to the language of, you know, we condemn what happened. Now, moments later, Booker's person responds to Sanders' person and says, "Thanks for the reply. My boss," i.e. Cory Booker, "can't agree to that edit." On Wednesday morning, Kaska, that's Sanders' guy, responded via email that Sanders will not be signing, so please cut Senate Democratic leadership team from the headline. This is kind of amazing. This shows you how far this party has gone, that Senator Spartacus is actually trying to do the right thing. And normally when they do these things, like when they sign on to a letter, you don't necessarily, think that they all believe it, really. They do this a lot. When a squad member says something anti-Semitic, they come out with a statement, they condemn it, whatever. But you get the sense that a lot of people signing on to it don't actually buy into it. But they still sign it. Like, the fact that he is so resolute in thinking that he can't give an inch here, that he can't even acknowledge a little bit of, to have a little bit of grace and to say, you know, human decency means we have to treat each other with respect. The golden rule. The golden rule is gone. They officially think this is the way to play it. And on top of all that, Bernie Sanders said something even more insane, which I really want to play for everybody here, because he's fed up with Sinema and Manchin. And this is a common misconception with this entire story that's been playing out now for weeks, is that Joe Manchin, and don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Joe Manchin is definitely one of the most powerful people right now in D.C. And so is Kyrsten Sinema. And I'm not denying that. But there are a lot more people, Democrats, who probably feel the same way Manchin and Sinema do, who aren't being pegged as the two people holding this up. There could be more than two people. And that's only two people on the Democrat side of the aisle. Obviously, you have all the Republicans who aren't backing this. But there's this narrative going that if it weren't for those two, everything would be great. Now, Bernie Sanders put this into words, and it's so asinine when you actually hear it and consider that maybe he just doesn't understand how the voting works and he doesn't understand the numbers behind it. But listen to Bernie Sanders, cut 11.
But two people do not have the right to sabotage what 48 want and what the president of the United States want. That, to me, is wrong.
Now, first of all, they do have the right, obviously. That's what they're doing. And I love when people use this language. They do not have the right to do it. Says who? Says King Bernie Sanders? Last time I checked, you lost. You're not even president, let alone king. You lost twice. And you lost like a wimp. You went out in a pathetic way. And now you're going to tell Sinema and Manchin they don't have the right to do something because it upsets you? Because you're not going to get all your free trees? I don't think that's how it works. I think that's wrong. Now, Charles C.W. Cook, who's a really great writer from the National Review, he was writing about this exact quote. And he says, earlier today, Sanders said that two people do not have the right to sabotage what 48 want and what the president of the United States wants, which is about as wrongheaded a statement as it's possible to imagine. First, it's not two people who are holding up the 48. It's 52 people. And second, it doesn't matter in the slightest what the president of the United States wants, because the president of the United States does not get a vote in Congress. Bernie knows this, of course, because he's been in Congress for 30 years. He just doesn't care. He wants what he wants, and that's about as far as it goes. They're all like Veruca Salts. I want an Oompa Loompa now. They want golden eggs and chocolate bars and everything for free, and they're going to stomp and hold their breath until they get it, and they're going to lie. They're going to blatantly lie, knowingly lie to the American people. That is complete BS that it's two people holding this up. It's 52 people. But Bernie Sanders doesn't care. And he also doesn't care that Joe Biden's poll numbers are crashing at a rate that no one expected. A lot of people thought, all right, so when the Afghanistan situation happened, we had the horrible withdrawal from Kabul and 13 U.S. service members were killed. A lot of pollsters, those geniuses that run the polls, thought that this would be kind of like Joe Biden's inflation. It would be transitory. It would go away. It would recover quickly. It was a little blip, and then it would pop back up once the media did their jobs and started making everyone forget about Afghanistan. Like, once the mainstream media really got revved up and started doing distraction techniques, look over here, shiny new object, global warming, people would forget about Afghanistan, the poll numbers would go back up. That has not happened. In fact, listen to this cut of Jake Tapper talking about just how bad these numbers are. Cut 10.
These new poll numbers, frankly, are brutal for the president. In this brand new Quinnipiac poll, only 38% of Americans approve of how Biden is handling his job compared to 53% who disapprove. That's the lowest approval rating Biden has had since taking office. Another striking number, only 39% of Americans approve of Biden's handling of the economy. 55% say they disapprove of the job he's doing on the economy. And when asked, is Joe Biden an honest president? 44% of Americans say yes. 50%, a plurality, say no. And one of the most damning results of all, more than half of the American people, 55%, say the Biden administration is not competent in running the government.
I have no idea where they would get that idea from. Is it
the government?
Is it the fact that the White House can't answer any questions but has the time to build a fake set for Joe Biden to get his third shot, his third vaccine, on this weird Truman Show-esque fake living room or fake Oval Office? I don't know what it was supposed to be, but I know it's not real. Is it that our southern border is being overrun and no one seems to care? They only care when they think that Haitians are getting whipped by Border Patrol agents, which, by the way, never got a follow-up. Someone pointed this out today. I actually have a story here somewhere in my stack. Someone pointed out today, we never got a follow-up on those Border Patrol agents who Joe Biden was going to bring to justice. He wasn't going to let this stand. He put on his Clint Eastwood hat, and he was going to take these suckers down. After an investigation, of course, which I'm guessing turned up nothing, because we haven't heard a peep about it. And when we get back, there's a really interesting piece. We've been talking a lot about what is happening with these spending bills and how bad it could be for Joe Biden if nothing gets passed. And obviously, the poll numbers are interesting. You know, I'm not going to lie to you guys. It brings me joy to read that he's crashing in the polls. It brings me a little bit of I told you so, but also just like a real sigh of, why didn't people see this coming? I could have. Remember the Boston Globe did a fake cover of what it would be like if Trump won? The stock market crash. We entered another war. It was all these crazy things. I could have actually written up a fake cover for the Boston Herald about what would happen if Joe Biden won. And it would look exactly like this. You could have seen all of this coming. And yet here we are. But David Marcus wrote a piece about how much better off Joe Biden would be. And he mentions, you know, what ifs are not always that valuable, but how much better off Joe Biden would be if he hadn't had control of everything. Because he keeps using this phrase, if Republicans aren't going to help, they can get out of the way. But no one's going to buy that when you've got control of every major branch. No one is going to say, oh yeah, this is Ted Cruz's fault. This is Josh Hawley's fault. No, it's going to land on Biden, and he knows that. He would have been better off if he hadn't had the Senate majority. And I know it's 50-50, and you know, but basically when you add in Harris, he does have the majority. And he would have been better off without it, because now he looks not only incompetent, but he can't blame it on anyone else. David Marcus explains that. I'll read that to you guys after the break. 844-500-4242. Still a lot of great sound to get to, thanks to Jen Psaki. Eden Pure is extending the BOGO offer for an extra week with over 100,000 sold and counting. The thunderstorm is sweeping the nation because people everywhere are raving about how well it works to get rid of odors, kill mold and mildew, and to freshen the air. Jared, this device works great whether you go to a football game and you get drenched in the rain and then you carry that smell of wet dog back into your house. I've heard that it can do wonders.
Hypothetically, yes. All you have to do is you plug in the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, plug it into a regular wall outlet, you turn it on, and it starts almost immediately completely creating a super oxygen because it sends out those ions, which ionizes the air, and that gets rid of, it doesn't cover up, it gets rid of the smell of a hypothetical wet dog smell from a football game.
Yes, and you don't want to cover things up because the cover up is always worse. The cover up is always worse than the crime. And the flowery you know, whatever you're going to spray on top of it is going to make things worse. You want to get rid of that bad smell. Right now, Eden Pure is offering a BOGO to my listeners this week only. That's right. Buy one, get one free. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Grace BOGO. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word Grace BOGO. Hurry, these will sell out quickly, so don't delay. The offer ends Sunday, October 10th at midnight, and shipping is free. When we get back, we will continue talking about Joe Biden's crashing poll numbers and what it means for the country. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
I'm looking at Fox News right now, and it says Twitter to warn users of heated conversations. It's like one of those warning trigger labels. You know what I might throw out today for a heated conversation? I don't think Caddyshack is that funny. And that will I wonder if I'll get a warning on that. Or I just tried to watch that show on Netflix, Squid Games. I did not enjoy it. Maybe I'll throw that out there, see if I get a warning. I saw someone today said pineapple on pizza, and that got a little warning. Because those conversations can get pretty heated, so it does depend. But yeah, everyone is getting so soft. Like, we need warnings now of heated conversations. Don't go to your Thanksgiving. If your Thanksgivings are anything like mine, don't go to Thanksgiving. Don't play Monopoly with your siblings. Warning, things can get very heated very quickly. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Follinsby Inn, located on beautiful Kezar Lake in North Sutton, New Hampshire. That's Follinsby Inn, Follansbee. Go to follinsbyinn.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Are you disappointed the Senate agreed to temporarily extend the debt ceiling?
No, I'm not, because I knew this was going to happen. I would be more disappointed if I had any faith in anything as far as these politicians go. So no, I wasn't surprised, and I really wasn't disappointed.
85% of the audience is disappointed.
I don't blame you guys, but you're kind of naive if you didn't see that one coming. All right, so I did want to read this quickly here. This is from Fox News. Biden would be better off with the GOP Senate. It's from David Marcus. He says, be careful what you wish for. And I'm going to skip around because we only got about a minute and a half here. Once it was realized that Democrats could control a 50-50 Senate, thanks to Vice President Kamala Harris's tie-breaking vote, another thing became instantly clear, that Senator Joe Manchin had suddenly become the most important man in Washington. But if the runoffs made Biden the head of the party with total power in Washington, it also gave him total responsibility. That played out this week as the president made a call for Republicans to get out of the way of Democrats trying to raise the debt ceiling. We played that yesterday. He had made a similar request to people like Governor Ron DeSantis and Governor Greg Abbott about banning mask mandates. He said, you know, if you're not going to help us with this virus, at least get out of the way. They must think that plays well with him or something. Get out of the way of what? David Marcus writes, Democrats have the votes to raise the debt ceiling on their own. That is supposedly the advantage of controlling both chambers of Congress. Had Republicans hung on to even one of the Georgia Senate seats, all of this would look entirely different. There certainly never would have been a $3.5 trillion social spending bill floated. There may still have been a bipartisan infrastructure bill, though. In that scenario, Biden would have delivered on his most central campaign promise to be a uniter, to work with both sides. Another reason why a split Congress would have been better politically for Biden than a razor-thin majority is that he could have reasonably blamed Republicans and Mitch McConnell. With total control comes total blame. Nowhere is this as important as in regards to rising inflation. The thing about inflation is that you can't spin it. If Americans' grocery bills that were $80 a few months ago are suddenly $1.10, you can't tell them it isn't really happening. A GOP Senate would have shared some blame for skyrocketing prices, but that won't happen now. In other words, it's all on you, Joe. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. We will be back with Matt Boyle from Breitbart. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk about Hunter Biden's art deals.